Blog Talk Radio.
Glam More Fearless, it's Diva Talk Radio.
Honey, love has come and gone, and we are moving on. Are you ready to dance with us, baby? Come on.
Hello, Divas. Welcome to Diva Talk Radio Spotlight, a special edition show tonight dedicated to women living with, at risk, and affected by diabetes. I'm your host, Mr. Divabetic, and I'm on a quest to glamorize good health. So sit back, relax, and get inspired as we shine this spotlight tonight on Manny Hernandez, the founder of 2Diabetes, on this very special edition of Diva Talk Radio in celebration of National Diabetes Awareness Month. If you have any questions for Manny or for me, Mr. Divabetic, or would you like to make a comment, please call in on our Diva Digits at 347-215-8551. And feel free to visit our website, divabetic.org, where you could download a free copy of our original diabetes game, Diabetes Numerology, today. Now, let's give a big Diva welcome to Manny Hernandez. Hello, Manny.
Hi, how are you, Max? Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're excited to have you. You know, it's November, National Diabetes Awareness Month, and I wanted one of the biggest shining stars in the community to come out and speak with us. So thank you for joining us on the radio show tonight.
Thank you so much. I'm honored.
Now, I had the pleasure of meeting you about a year and a half ago in New Orleans during the ADA National Conference, and at that time, I know your site was celebrating a milestone of over 10,000 members. How many members do you have on 2Diabetes today?
We have nearly 17,000, and our sister community in Spanish, estudiabetes.org, has we're getting close to 11,000, so the 2Diabetes, estudiabetes families are growing.
And when did you start them?
Back in 2007. 2Diabetes was started in March 2007, and estudiabetes followed suit shortly thereafter on August 2007.
And just tell us, Manny, what inspired you to want to even create a website and to get involved in diabetes advocacy?
Well, part of it was the fact that I was diagnosed with diabetes in late 2002. I was first diagnosed with type 2. I was 30 at the time, and I was overweight, so the doctor thought I had type 2 diabetes. It turned out that I actually had a form of type 1 diabetes, or autoimmune diabetes, sometimes called LADA, latent autoimmune diabetes in adults. So that definitely was a big reason. Eventually, I started wearing an insulin pump, and I later attended an insulin pump users group. And that was a very important moment, being surrounded by other people like myself who clearly understood what I was living with a chronic condition like diabetes, and who I could share my own experience as well with, was very powerful. So given that my background was in web product management and online communities and so on, all those things put together kind of led eventually at the beginning of 2007 to the forming of 2Diabetes and then estudiabetes.
And what was the initial mission of 2Diabetes?
Connecting people touched by diabetes, really.
Mm-hmm.
It was about providing people who were living with diabetes themselves or had a loved one with diabetes with a space where they could connect with others like themselves and share their experiences or questions or doubts, as well as get and offer support.
I know. I've been to the site, and I see they have a lot of forums and blogs, and I was just wondering, what are some of the common concerns that keep coming up for you when you're monitoring the site? Like, do you have topics that you feel are continually being discussed on the site?
Well, yes, and we monitor the site through a team of incredible volunteers who serve as admins and moderators on the site. And we do see some topics that happen on a regular basis. I mean, like, as people living with diabetes, you know, kind of deal with it on a daily basis, topics related to nutrition or to carb counting or to, you know, shots versus pumps, or in recent years, in the past couple of years, conversation about continuous glucose monitoring as an alternative option. I mean, are things that come up on a fairly regular basis.
Have you seen people kind of talk about your own personal story as far as having the same experience where they were misdiagnosed initially and, you know, they might have thought they were type 2 only to learn, like you did later, that you were living with type 1? I'm just curious, is that something that's common? Because I have heard it before.
I wouldn't say it's common, but it's a lot more frequent than people seem to be aware of. And we recently had, at the end of October, a LADA Awareness Week, where we collaborated with folks at DLife and put together basically we showcased stories of LADA patients who are very active online, and tried to share information about basically the most important piece of information that can be a pointer to someone but possibly having LADA is if you are diagnosed with type 2 and you are rigorously following the treatment that you're given, and no matter how hard you try, you can't keep your blood sugars in control. And the reason why that happens, if it happens, can be tied to the fact that you're treating a different disease. You're treating type 2 as opposed to type 1. And in the case of type 1, your pancreas no longer produces insulin or produces very little insulin, and therefore no amount of type 2 treatment will, you know, help compensate for that properly. So on the side there, we have a resource page for LADA, people who are interested in learning more about LADA. And if we ever read someone talking about, you know, an experience kind of like the one you just mentioned, we point them to that resource so that they may have more information and be able to go back to their doctor and share that with them. I mean,
well, now this is interesting, because when this happens with a misdiagnosis, and I'm just curious with your own personal journey, you know, people are obviously frustrated because they were trying everything and they weren't able to solve it. And then there's also an issue of being angry and doubtful about your healthcare team because of the misdiagnosis and not knowing where to put your trust. Did you have to deal with any of those issues? And if you did, how do you advise people to kind of overcome that hurdle?
Well, we see getting diagnosed and living and dealing with diabetes as something not unlike the stages that you go through when you lose a loved one. You know, there's a period of grief. There's a grieving that involves, you know, coming to terms with the fact that this is here with you, and it's not going away, at least not anytime soon, until there's a cure that is found. So sometimes different people will deal with it in different ways. Sometimes people will just bury themselves in work, or bury themselves beneath other things, and find any number of reasons why, you know, how could this happen to me, or like, why did this happen to me? And it gets very emotional when you start throwing in to the mix elements of public perception about diabetes, and people, you know, being, you know, pointed at, or, you know, having the being questioned as, like, you know, you see, you did that to yourself, and
right, a lot
and
of shame.
Extremely relative when you start considering that there's starting to be emerging research that shows that there are also genetic elements associated with type 2 diabetes. So it seems like we don't really know as much about diabetes as we thought we did. So It is not an easy process.
I'm sorry. Is this site largely Latino, or can someone European or of a different descent come on to 2Diabetes or the other site you were mentioning?
2Diabetes is 75% of the members are U.S. based and fairly diverse, but U.S. based majority, followed by a pretty good size group of Canadian members and UK mm-hmm. and Australian members. But 2Diabetes, in spite of the name, is completely English speaking.
It is.
Now,
okay. So just in case anyone, they can go to 2diabetes.org right now where they're listening to the show and click around and see that there are blogs and forums going on. Also, you have a bunch of resources. I mean, I think one of the most amazing things you mentioned, now you have to remember, I deal with a lot of women, and they're willing to go on the pump, but it seems like men are not willing to go on the insulin pump. I'm curious to know why you decided to go on the insulin pump.
To me, it was a matter of quality of life and improved control and flexibility. I was, at the time I started on the pump, I was splitting my Lantus dose into four. I was giving myself two shots in the morning and two shots at night, trying to stick with the small numbers, so small doses of insulin per shot, and then on top of that the Novolog before meals.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere between 7 and 8 shots a day, and if you take that over the period of 3 days, that's about 20 some shots, and 3 days is how often you have to rotate your infusion site with your insulin pump, which is the nearest equivalent of giving yourself a shot when you're wearing a pump. So one shot versus 24, I mean, that was kind of like an easy decision for me because I'm not a real fan of shots. And the other thing was like the added flexibility, because when you are on shots, you necessarily have to have long-acting insulin. So whether you're taking Lantus or Levemir, once you give yourself a shot of that or more, one in the night and one in the morning, it's going to be in your system for practically the rest of the day, which really forces you to eat at a very specific time or else you go low. So with the pump, you can really adjust your dosing, your basal rate, it's called, and allow for, more flexibility, whether it is because you may be stuck in a meeting or maybe because you're exercising or whatever reason. It may be if you're going to need a little less insulin, you can adjust that and not find yourself having a severe low.
So I could take it you've had improved management wearing the pump, and you do recommend it.
I have had improved management. I have seen people who manage their diabetes incredibly well with shots.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's not for everyone, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that where what I just said, it sounds reasonable or appealing. I would say it may be for that person. Yeah.
Great. Well, no, that's great. And we've got so much to talk to you about because on top of it being National Diabetes Awareness Month, on November 14th, it's World Diabetes Day, and I know you have something very special to talk about with our listeners tonight. But we're going to take a quick break, Manny, and I want to remind our listeners right now, we're going to take calls tonight, so please call in at 347-215-8551. You might want to talk to Manny about 2Diabetes, or maybe it's his game. It's called Heat Seeker, and it's on Facebook, and people love it. I can't wait to hear more about that. And also visit our website, divabag.org, for more information and inspiration. We're going to have more time to talk with our special guest, Mandy Hernandez, but right now we're going to take a break and hear a few quick announcements, Diva style, from GB O'Brien. Take it away, GB.
Hello, Divas and friends. GB O'Brien here with highlights for the month of November, National Diabetes Awareness Month. On November 6th, join DivaBetic at the ADA Expo in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's free, fun, and it will be fabulous. Next Tuesday, right here at 6 p.m., chat with Mr. DivaBetic's Charlie's Angels of Diabetes Care. Review the menu as we take on Red Lobster and meet Amy M., our diabetes numerology diva contestant. The 14th is World Diabetes Day. Wear a blue hat, The 16th, our free webinar, and throughout the month, special appearances from D.C. to New York. Visit DivaBedic.org for complete details and a 25% discount on Sugar Crush. Finally, a reminder, DivaBedic provides support and inspiration 365 days a year. Visit us online, join the DivaBedic group on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter. Now back to Mr. DivaBedic.
All right, we're right back in the spotlight with Manny Hernandez from 2Diabetes. Manny, World Diabetes Day, November 14th. You've got something amazing going on. I want to say it's Big Blue Test Day. So tell me about what is Big Blue Test?
The Big Blue Test is one of the programs we run at the Diabetes Hands Foundation. That's a nonprofit that runs 2Diabetes and S2Diabetes. And it is a very simple concept where we ask participants to test their blood sugar, exercise for 14 minutes, and the number, it doesn't have anything scientific about it, just it's long enough, and it corresponds to the same number as World Diabetes Day, November 14th. So we ask people on November 14th at 2 p.m., your local time, wherever you are, just test, exercise for 14 minutes, and test your blood sugar again. And last, share the experience. So what we're doing this year is asking people to, once they have done that, go to bigbluetest.org, and on that page they'll be able to find a little box for them to enter their pre-exercise blood sugar and their post-exercise blood sugar, and then they can submit it and share it, and pretty much everyone else participating, their numbers kind of get like added together, and we can see how, as a community, we can improve in typically our blood sugars through exercise. But to help on that same page, bigbluetest.org, we have a very special video that we are using to promote this initiative. And the video was sponsored by Roche. They were kind enough to cover the cost of producing the video, and I think viewers will like it, but they will hopefully also like it because of something else. For in proportion to the number of views that the video gets, Roche will be making a donation up to $75,000 that will go to get insulin to children with diabetes in need, typically in third world countries, through two humanitarian diabetes programs. So
all they have to do is they could go to your site, 2diabetes.org, and it's on your landing page, or they could go to bigbluetest.org and watch the video, and those video clicks count to help raise money to help these children?
That is correct. And
also they could see you fall down on ice skates, right? I mean,
yes,
that was worth me
watching
it twice.
That will...
Have you ever skated before, Manny?
I had, but I'm really bad at skating. I can tell you that the fall on the ice rink was not staged. It was completely real. So the hard part was to not fall.
Oh, all right. Yeah, well, you kind of – I don't know if you're going to be on Skating with the Stars. I guess that's going to be a new show on ABC. But definitely – people definitely need to check this out. All they do really have to do is watch the video, and your viewership is going to help us raise that money for what Manny believes in so passionately about getting insulin supplies to children in need. I think it's fantastic. When I think of kids, Manny, I think of games. So let's talk about Heat Seeker. What's the concept behind this game that's on Facebook?
Yeah, the game is called Health Seeker, and it's really to be fair, it's probably going to be more appealing to adults than
right.
children. But we all have a children inside, so that part hopefully is also appealed by the game. The game basically invites people to adopt and discover healthy habits with the support of their Facebook friends. We try to, we present people with a series of missions that they can take on in order to do to accomplish one or more of their lifestyle goals. For example, improving their weight, or improving their diabetes management, or improving their eating habits, or reducing cardiovascular complications, risk of cardiovascular complications. So an example of a mission may be the fat mission with a pH. Inside each mission, there are small actions. These are all very simple steps that people can take on their day-to-day life to stay healthy. And so, for example, they may find a recommendation to, eat a fruit instead of picking a snack. I mean, so very, very specific things as opposed to, like, eat healthier. And as people complete actions and missions, they get points and they go to higher levels, and they can show off about it to their Facebook friends and share it with their Facebook friends, and also on Twitter if they are on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And what we're hoping is that by being reminded of these healthy habits that they can take on, or they will improve their health. So so far we've seen approximately 4,000 players starting to play Health Seeker, and at the end of this week, actually, we're launching a Spanish version for listeners who may be who may prefer playing it in Spanish. And this game we developed in collaboration with Joslin Diabetes Center in Boston, and it was underwritten by a company called Boehringer Ingelheim that made it possible. So we're extremely happy to be able to give this as a resource to the community. And the truth is, it not only can be played by people with diabetes, just anyone who wants to stay healthy, can benefit from it. There's probably like just a couple among the 15 different missions. There's only two that are really relevant only for people with diabetes. The rest of them are applicable to anybody.
Okay, so it's Health Seeker, and it's available for free on Facebook.com, or I'm sure they could Google Health Seeker and it will come up. What I liked about this game, I have to tell you, is the idea that you don't overwhelm your missions. Like, I think you'd only take on three missions at a time, correct? So that it's really kind of showing people, if you're going to set goals, which we really believe in with Diabetic, you have to make them realistic. And sometimes these lifestyle goals are the biggest challenges, so it's important to have some to monitor that. But I see the Diva phone is lighting up. let's see if we've got a caller. Hello, you're on Diva Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome to Diva Talk Radio. Our special guest tonight is Manny Hernandez from 2 Diabetes.
Hi, I've been listening and hearing you talk about World Diabetes Day and some other things, and I was wondering what the significance of blue is.
Manny, would you like to answer that?
Sure. So, Lisa, blue was designated by the International Diabetes Federation a few years ago. It is also shared in common with the blue of the United Nations and the blue of the sky, and it's sort of a unifying theme in order to try to call get people surrounding this day. If you go to worlddiabetesday.org, you can find out a lot more information about it and see what kind of activities are going to be going on within your area. One of the common things that happens in hundreds of cities throughout the world that day is that public buildings and large landmarks get lit up in blue as well, as a way to do for diabetes what the color pink may do for breast cancer or the red may do for AIDS.
Okay, thank you. I'll be wearing my blue hat to church.
We appreciate that. Be a diva and wear blue hats. That's part of our faith-based initiative. Thank you for calling, Lisa.
Okay, bye.
Manny, I know that's an interesting idea, talking about this international theme. I know that you mentioned earlier that you do have an international reach with your website. Are you seeing common concerns and issues popping up around the world concerning diabetes, or when you look and your team of volunteers looks at that, are they dealing with different concerns? I'm just curious.
Well, we definitely see different issues being brought up and being exposed depending on where people are participating from. Pardon. For example, in the case of our Latin American members who may be living in a country where a particular therapy or a particular drug may still not be available or may be available at an extremely elevated cost, even more than in the U.S. in proportion to the income level, it really can sometimes be frustrating to some of those people to read about all these great options, that are available that may be available to them at some point in their future, but definitely not now.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, though, when you step away from the limitations of access to technology or drugs because of cost or availability, we all live with the same disease. And, whether you're type 1 or type 2 or gestational, you are dealing with trying to keep your blood sugars in control. And the toll that takes, the emotional load that puts on people with diabetes, you can see pretty much across the board and across languages as well, which is, I think, one of the most important things that we really have so much in common, regardless of language, regardless of type, that we really emphasize very much those things that we have in common. And we make space for specific discussions that pertain to different types or different kind of therapies or different brands you may prefer or whatnot. But the overarching, discussion, we try to, keep grounded around the things that we have in common and that anyone can benefit from participating in.
Well, thank you. Manny, I do want to take a second and just congratulate you for your extraordinary success and really acknowledge all the hard work you have put into the community and really trying to help people find resources and even find each other so that they could kind of overcome these hurdles. I think it's so important as a diabetes community that we unite and work together to help people, because one of the biggest things we hear at DivaBedic is a lot of women feel alone and isolated, and so we're always trying to get people to realize that they're not alone, so that there's a community there that they could access. And I think 2Diabetes is a wonderful resource. Remind us again, November 14th, Manny Hernandez, what are we urging people to do?
November 14th at 2 p.m., wherever you are, your local time. Test your blood sugar, get active for 14 minutes, test your blood sugar again, and go to bigbluetest.org and share the experience. And between now and then, go to bigbluetest.org or to diabetes.org to watch a video and help children with diabetes in need. And, it'll be, a big help to all these kids that will benefit from it.
And let's give Manny a round of applause. You were in the spotlight tonight with Manny Hernandez, the creator and founder of 2Diabetes. Thank you, Manny. We're out of time, Divas, but we'll be back next week with Diva Talk Radio Show featuring the Charlie's Angels of Diabetes Outreach, our next numerology contestant, Amy M. from New York City, Mama Rose Marie, makeup artist Jeff Jones, and more. I'd like to take a special moment and thank our sponsors, Crystal Light, Dr. Scholl's, Pretzel Crisps, Underology, Sugar Crush, and Diabetes Health Magazine for supporting the DivaBedic community. Thank you again, Manny Hernandez, for joining us for this half hour. Remember, every diva has an entourage, and I'm so glad to be part of yours. Let's stay healthy together. This is Mr. DivaBedic saying celebrate World Diabetes Day with the Big Blue Test. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Because we are just in the town. Are you ready? Honey, love it. Come and go. And we are moving on. Are you ready to dance with us, baby?